Let's see. At the moment, I'm reading William Barclay's commentary on John, which it sounds very geeky, but I love it. He's a 50s theologian and a very, very good theologian. And I'm loving reading this every morning of the day. John 1:3, the Apostle John speaks of Jesus being a co-worker with God when God created the world. It's a pretty major thing. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, all things were made. If that's true, I think there is even more at stake than Pascal alluded to in his little wager. John goes on and he says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men and women. Jesus, says John, is the co-creator of the world. And creators, all of those who are creators, those artists, those musicians, those choir members, those painters, we all know that if you create something, there's something of you in that creation. Yeah? And there is an intimacy with that creation. God has that intimacy with his creation, with this world, with our planet. And at the peak of that creational hierarchy is mankind, a little lower than angels. So you get the picture. God is deeply involved with his creation. At the time of John's writing, there were people saying that he's not. God is removed. That is not true. John is addressing that heresy in his gospel. Now, something has gone wrong with the world. Yep? Yes. All you need to do to find that out is to click on your phone on your news feed, ignore the entertainment stuff, which is a lot of, and actually look what's happening in the world. It's not hard to discern that things are in a little bit of a shambles. Yep. Something is not quite right with the world. So, God has sent Jesus on a mission. On a mission from God. You know the Blues Brothers. Jesus is that mission. And Father has sent Jesus to claim back what is rightfully his. That's mission in a nutshell. The Father sends the Son to claim back what is rightfully his. Now that mission took place 2,000 years ago, and it takes place today. God is reclaiming back through us what is rightfully his. The sending out of the 70 in Luke, which as we read today, but Shirley read to us, is part of that mission. A man or a woman, claims Barclay, who lives without Christ merely exists and does not know what life is like with a capital L. Okay? Am I going the right way? I've got to go the right way. Oh, okay. Okay. No, that's a loser, isn't it? The capital L for life. Those who live without Christ merely exist. Those who live with Christ live life with a capital L. Now, for those of us who have lived life without Christ and then have invited Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we know the difference of that. Yeah? We know the difference of that. It's interesting. When I was in Dunedin, I wasn't a believer at all. I didn't go to church at all. But I was very interested in Christians. And I was very interested in what made life tick. And I remember one of my flatmates, he said to me, he said, Ian, he said, those Christians, he said, they're so annoying. I said, why? He said, because they're so bloody happy. I thought, well, that's really interesting. Yeah? And the two things I wondered about with that is, what made them so happy? That was one thing. Could it be that they had something that others did not have? Life, with a capital L. And what was so wrong with being happy anyway? Yeah? Could it be that people were envious or perplexed or troubled by these people called Christians, which has happened throughout the ages? It happened in the Colosseum. Yeah? It's nothing new. Could it be that the life without God is a life without peace that we're designed for in our own lives? Could that be? John goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This flatmate did not understand the light. It was just annoying. So, we're separated from one who created us. So we no longer know God. And this word know is used throughout the New Testament over 200 times. Gnosko, to know. And to know, it doesn't mean just to know of someone. It means to have a personal experience of, to have an acquaintance, first-hand acquaintance of. I can tell you all about this friend of mine who lives in the UK. You don't know them, my best friend. You know of them. And so it's the same with God. You can easily sit in church and know of God, but you don't know them personally. Yeah? Ruth and I, 2 years ago, we had our 20th wedding anniversary, which I think is paper or something crazy. It feels more than paper. But anyway, I sold our car. I did tell Ruth that we were selling the car. I got permission. And I bought a holiday to Fiji, to a luxury island in Fiji. And it was beautiful. And life slowed down. Like island time. A week is like 3 weeks. I thoroughly recommend it. And we stayed in a tree hut, which, it doesn't sound that salubrious, but it was. It was pretty fancy. Look, I can tell you all about Fiji and this luxury island in Fiji, but you are going to go, oh yeah, okay, but you won't know how amazing it is unless you go there. Now, I'm not advertising Fiji. It's a little analogy. You won't know what it's like until you go there. Yeah, it's the same with our relationship with God. You won't know what he's like until you encounter him. And he's here for us. That's the amazing news. He is here for us. There's no ifs or buts. Most of you would not be here if he was not here. You won't really know what it's like until you experience it for yourself. Verse 4 in John, in him is life. With capital L, this is the life he came to earth to bring. And it is the life that those 70 disciples brought with them on mission when he sent them out. And it's the same when Jesus sends us out today. Life with a capital L that only Jesus can bring. Okay, so we've looked at the important message and how critical that message is. We're going to look at the principles now that we learn from about mission in our reading from today in Luke. Hands up, how many of you had the term road to Damascus, like a blinding light and so forth? How many of you converted through a blinding light kind of experience? Hands up. Just a little handful. That's about right, okay? How many of you came to faith through someone you knew in church, your family or your friends? A lot, that's about right. Now, The stats for that are 25%. Only 25% of people come to faith through that godly intervention experience. 75% of us come to faith through friends or family in church. Hold on to that. That's really important for us as a church going ahead. And I'll explain why. Jesus sent out the disciples in pairs. All right? Now, we've got this idea that people are gifted about evangelism and so forth, and they go out and they do things on their own, and people come to faith. You know, the old plane story where you said, you know, the principal of my theological college used to be one of those. He'd sit on a plane and bring all these people to faith and go, oh, goodness, George. That's so annoying. Okay. They are exceptions. They are exceptions. Jesus sent people out in small communities. All right? We have these communities here that we invite people to. Just on Friday, we had fish and chip evening, which happens once a quarter. We had four families here. 80 people? Yeah? Youth were helping out. It's a fantastic time. Great fish and chips. A few beers. Dad's Day. And we had four families who'd never been to church before. We can't expect people just to wander in through these doors. Happens occasionally. It's the exception rather than the rule. Other communities that we have the city side community. We're meeting next week. They invite people who go to church whose spouses don't come to church, or partners, or people who are new to church or on the fringes of the church. They come along and they find out that we haven't got two heads. Yeah. Because believe me, people get funny ideas about Christians. They always have. And I used to have them. The other group we have and meeting today is the families, young families group, Nikki, the Wheelers. They have scores of kids and scores of spouses coming along and sharing food. The other group is the morning tea group for the 9 o'clock service. They're doing the same thing. Guys, this is mission. It's not hard. It's fun. Is that good news? It's really good news. It's fun. And we do it together and we have a good time. This is mission. Now, the progressive rugby that we're having at Andrew's place and my place and maybe Scotty's place. Okay, that is mission. Bring something to eat. Bring a beer. Bring some friends or bring a mate. Or if you're Billy no mates, then find a mate. Bring him along. This is mission. Now, the next thing is keep it lightweight. We don't have one or two people slaving over hot stoves for a whole day to host people. We bring our own food. Let's share more. We're doing that. Sharing our food is what we're about at St. Mary's. Keep it lightweight. Jesus said, don't take much with you. Keep it lightweight. The third thing is, go with God's plan in mind. Go with God's plan in mind. His plan is to claim back what is rightfully his. Remember? Now, most of you have gone already. A lot of us haven't gone with this plan at the forefront of our minds. And I said this to the 9 o'clock service. How many community groups do you belong to? How many sports clubs do you belong to? How many sideline sports parents do you contact with? Probus, craft groups, all of us are involved in the community. You've gone. Sometimes we just don't have God's plan at the forefront of our minds, yeah? That's all we need to do, change our mindset. We're going to have prayer this morning during communion. Kathleen and who's praying? It's Jenny will be praying, and also Kelly. Well, it's one of the things you get prayed for is that, and I get prayed for this morning, is that we would have the mind of God. We've gone out, we just need the mind of God. And the last thing is, what is the next step? The next step is to seek to bless others. Seek to bless those we encounter. In verse 5, enter the house or the relationship with someone and say, peace to this house. The Prince of Peace shares his peace. That surpasses all understanding. We read in Isaiah. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. Watch for this. And the way to do that is to ask someone if they want, if they're in need, can I pray for you? Very few people refuse prayer. You can share about what God's done in your life. As we were sharing this morning, because God is active and alive. Share that with someone. That'll be news to them. Man, God really does that. That's all we need to do. Seek to bless. Pascal thought it was worth betting your life on God existing because the stakes are high and the odds are in the believer's favor. Looking at the start of John's gospel, it's clear that the stakes are even higher than Pascal realized. It is clear that the mission Jesus calls us to join him with is no less than recreating the world itself. God is recreating this world. Isn't that good news? That is good news for the world and its creation for us. Bringing his creation to a place of knowing who God is firsthand, where life is as it should be with a capital L. You'll have an opportunity now to get prayed for during communion, just off to the side with anointing oil. If life is not lived by you, if you're merely existing, and that could be any of us, come and get prayed for so that you can live life with a capital L. That might involve acknowledging Jesus as your Lord for the first time in your life. That was when I encountered something much bigger than I could have ever imagined. God's kingdom. He is so much more better than we imagine. Infinitely kinder. Infinitely more merciful. Infinitely more gracious and loving. And he invites you to come and to know him. If you don't know him, come this morning and be prayed for that as we have communion together. It is a big deal, but it's like, this is an opportunity. We do it as a community. We are in this together. The community is lightweight, where we invite and engage from places where we've gone already with God's plan in our minds, where we seek to bless others and develop our relationships with those who God is blessing through us. What we're going to do now is we're going to come to communion. I'm going to invite our servers at the end to come forward and they'll receive communion. So Kathleen will be off to the side and Jenny will be off to the side. If any of you want that life with a capital L this morning, come and be prayed for. If any of you, for the first time, wish to acknowledge God as your, or Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come forward. Someone did it in the last service. Man, he looked happy. One of those annoying, happy Christians. Become one. It's great. If you want that mindset of this is God's plan and mission to reclaim what is his, and you need that in your mind as you go out, get prayed for that as well. Can I invite the musicians to come forward in the service, please? Can you just, musicians, come forward? I will give you communion soon, but we're going to stand and we're going to celebrate communion together. Let's stand.